Is there hope in captivity? In Romans 15 and in verse 4, Paul writes to the Christians at Rome, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." This Bible has been given to us in great numbers only during the last few generations. With the high-speed printing press, practically every family in Christendom now has available to them one or more Bibles, and we are to read these because through the Scriptures we might have hope. Now, at the same time, the people of Christendom in America and Europe and the other parts of the lands which claim the name of Christ are fearful, and they're looking at trouble. They're fearful of captivity. They're becoming alarmed about many things. All of these nations have the same problem that we do, an increasing control by their national or federal government. The debt in the land is increasing to the extent that people are working one-third to one-half of their time just to pay the interest and taxes to their local government and the metropolitan areas and the states and the federal government and so on. And there is a tremendous increase in lawlessness and immorality and disease in the land. At the same time, the nations, the alien nations, which have sworn to destroy us, are increasing with great might, while we are decreasing. Our military might is practically non-existent today, and yet Russia is now reaching a point with their navy where they can control most of the seven seas. The American fishermen and the Canadian fishermen along both of our coasts are being driven from the ocean by Russian trawlers and fishermen that come through and drag their nets right through our fishermen's net, destroy all of their gear, and the fish that they have been harvesting and selling in America is now going to other lands. This and a thousand other things which I could mention stare us in the face right at the time that the Scripture says we're supposed to have hope by reading the Bible. In verse 8, he says of Christ, "I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." And perhaps these are related. These promises made unto the fathers might be related to what is happening to us today, even the bad things or the terrible things which we fear. But anyway, since our near future seems to be one of captivity unless the situation is reversed, let's turn back to the book of Judges. For in this book, Israel went into captivity several times. And if we are God's people, and if we are headed for captivity under alien hands and by an alien people, and Paul says we're supposed to learn from these scriptures and this history of Israel and God's word to the Israel people, let's read some of these things that happened to them, specifically having to do with captivity. Israel, as you know, by the time we reached the book of Judges, had come out of Egypt. They had been in the wilderness. They had been given the law at Mount Sinai. Moses had died. Joshua had brought them into the land, and they had actually conquered and taken over a good part of the promised land or Canaan land. Then chapter 2 of Judges, in verse 1, "And an angel of the Lord, or a messenger of the Lord, came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you." In other words, God reiterated his promise that he made with them and said, I won't break it. "And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars. But ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this?" God had given the Israel people certain instructions. They were not to make treaties with non-Israel people, and they were not to allow alien religions to flourish in the land of Israel. But they had done both of these things, and God says, "Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you." And Joshua had told them, and Moses had told them, that if they did not drive out the alien, the heathen, the Canaanite, from the land of Israel, that God would then just leave them there, and these heathen people would be a snare to Israel, and their gods would be a trap unto them. They'd be thorns in their sides. And this is, of course, what happened to them by the time we come to this portion of the book of Judges. And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voices and wept. They repented when the angel of the Lord came, and they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, in Timnath-heres, in the Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done in Israel. This was the third generation after coming into Canaan land. And you know, of course, I'm going to make a comparison with this to our coming into this land on this North American continent. Our fathers who came here from Europe were Christian people who believed in the God of Israel, and they knew and understood that God had actually brought them here. In fact, as you read some of the old sermons that were preached in the 1600s and 1700s, they likened their coming to this continent to that of Israel coming out of the land of Egypt, coming through the sea and through the wilderness into the promised land. But now time has gone by. A generation is now living in this land as it was in old Canaan land, who had not personally seen God's deliverance of the Israel people. They had been told this by their fathers, but they had not personally seen it. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. Now this seems as if that's impossible here today. Some of you recall that I did a sermon one time at a conference titled The Bible in America and America in the Bible. And in that book, and that was a book written in the 1930s, the man had written about all of the different translations of the Bible that were used in colonial America on later when we became a nation and right up to the present day. But in giving the history of the Bible in America, he told about many of the early colonies, who founded them, and their Christian background, and so on. And he repeated in there something we know from other history books, that in the early colonies in America, none but Christian people were allowed to vote or hold office. In fact, even the great colony of Pennsylvania, of William Penn, who was noted for his tolerance of all branches of the Christian faith, Catholics and Jews were not allowed to vote or hold office. And this remained true in some of the colonies for over a century, for over 100 years. In many of the colonies, they would not even allow a Jew to live. And the Catholics were so persecuted that according to that book, The Bible in America, and according to other textbooks that I have, that at the time of the American Revolution, there were only 24 priests, Roman Catholic priests, in all of the colonial area. Catholicism was practically non-existent, was not allowed, literally, in the colonies of the United States. Now, in Israel, coming into Canaan land, God told them specifically and in great detail, they were not to allow the worship of any other gods but the God of Israel. They were to drive those people out, and if they would not turn away from their gods, they were to put them to death. Today in America, I don't know the specific figures, but something like one-third of the people of this land are professing Catholics. And if you'll take a look at the national government, you will find that in the executive branch of the United States government, about 90% of the men in the top offices are Jews, the same people that our forefathers refused to even allow to vote. Going on in the second chapter of Judges, and they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Now this is another thing that I believe we have done. Not only have we allowed the alien to come in and take over the land to some extent, but we have allowed them to insinuate the doctrines of their heathen religion into what we call Christianity. And I'm not going to give you a lot of details on that, but for new listeners, I would heartily recommend that you get my series on There Are Disciples of Baal in America. And I think you will be surprised, as I have been during the last 5 to 10 years as I began to study this, to discover that many of the doctrines, yes, the doctrines which are taught from supposedly Christian pulpits are identical to that which was taught by the Canaanites under what they called, and we call today, Baal worship in old Canaan land. Just recently, many of the Christian preachers and other people have been surprised when the wife of the President of the United States apparently made some sort of a public statement where she spoke up and implied that she didn't mind if her daughters had premarital sex, and she also spoke in favor of abortion. Now, many people who attend Christian churches are upset about that, and they're surprised, and they're angry, and so on, but perhaps most of them do not know that Baal worship involved adultery. In fact, the act of adultery was an act of religious worship under the worship of the god Baal, and the religion of Baal worship required a blood sacrifice, and that blood sacrifice required under Baal worship was a little baby. A little baby was killed and offered for a sacrifice to Baal. Well, in America they call it abortion, and something like 1 million young babies, some many of them only a few weeks old in their mother's womb, are being killed every year in America. People think of it as foolishness or medical malpractice, and some think of it as a crime of murder, but very few people understand that it's actually an act of religious worship of Baal worship. And these people who are performing this, who are promoting it, who are trying to make it legal, and people like Mrs. Ford who come out in favor of it, are actually, in effect, Baal worshipers. That is their religion, and that religion is in the land of America. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Now this word spoilers here means robbers, plunderers, people who steal from children of Israel. Now I don't know what you think is happening to you when you work for some employer for 50 weeks out of the year, and when you get your paycheck, you only get about 65 to 85% of what you earn, and then when you go to the store to buy things, you pay anywhere from 5 to 25% of that price goes in taxes, or you're being spoiled, you're being robbed, you're being plundered. And here, God says, because Israel worshiped other gods, he turned them over to the spoilers. He actually turned them over to people who would rob and plunder those people. And we in America have, as I've mentioned so many times, about 80 million people working at full-time jobs. We produce more of manufactured goods than all the rest of the world put together. We have the largest agricultural crop harvest of any nation on the face of the earth, and yet our people are in debt to the extent that the average American worker, when he dies, leaves an estate of approximately $2,000. Has he been robbed? Has he worked all of his life and found that what he worked, the fruit of his labor, is taken from him? Obviously it has been. And if we're to learn anything from the Scripture, we better start relating what God did to the children of Israel to what's happening to us. God actually gave them into the hands of the spoilers. He sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. I wonder what you think happened in the Vietnam War, where we found out that this great and supposedly powerful America could not win a war in an area the size of one-third of the state of California against a nation which was rated 32nd in military might. That's what North Vietnam was rated at. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods. and bowed themselves unto them. And they turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hands of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And really, the history of America has been somewhat in the same manner. We have had revivals, and our people have turned to God, and God has blessed us. And then we've turned around, and we've gone into sin and iniquity, and we've had judgment upon us. Abraham Lincoln knew enough about this Bible that if you read his words carved in the marble of the Lincoln Monument in Washington, D.C., he states specifically that the Civil War was the hand of judgment of God upon this nation for its sin and iniquity. Now, we don't have presidents like that anymore. In fact, we hardly have preachers like that anymore who will tell our people that our troubles, our trials, and our tribulations are because we have disobeyed the God of Israel. Verse 19, and it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them out of the hand of Joshua. In other words, God said, all right, if you want to go a-whoring after these other gods, I am going to allow the alien, the heathen, the non-Israelite, to remain in your land to test you, to tempt you, to see whether you follow me or whether you will follow their God. Now, some of you Christian people, I'm sure, have been surprised in the last few years to find that even the Indians are rising up and telling our people they want nothing to do with the white man's God. They're kicking the missionaries off reservations. In fact, here in Arizona, they have ordered the ranchers off their reservation. And they're telling us this is their land, and we are to leave. And God said to ancient Israel, I'll leave these heathen in the land, and they'll become thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a snare unto you. Some of you know that one of the tribes up in northern Arizona and northern New Mexico has a religion which involves the use of drugs, peyote or something like that they call it. And many of our people are actually getting involved in the taking of that drug because they follow that religion and they eat that poison, that berry or whatever you call it. And this is happening all over this land. Now, in our case, apparently, there aren't enough of the heathen and the antichrist and ungodly people in our land for God to test us, so he's allowing them to come in. And they're coming in by the hundreds of thousands and the millions. They bought 100,000 of the Vietnamese in, and one of the first things that they did when they landed in California was for the Buddhist priest to set up a little chapel or whatever he wants to call it in the army barracks there, and they had worship to Buddha. And they praised Buddha for their deliverance into this land. Is the worship of other gods going on here? Of course it is. Even the Jews are coming in. God only knows how many. The United States government passed a law some several years ago, about 5 years ago now, I believe, and the American taxpayer, unknown to most of them, is paying every Jewish family that leaves Russia a cash sum of $30,000. How would you like to get $30,000 in cash from your government? Every Jewish family leaving the Soviet Union is given $30,000 American dollars from the American taxpayer, supposedly to relocate them in Palestine. About half of them do not stay in Palestine. They are coming on to America, and they are buying the little stores and all of these small businesses all over this land, and they're coming in with that money, and they are buying America with your money. God, I believe, is actually allowing the Asiatics and the Negroes and the Jews to take over much of this land because we are doing exactly what our fathers did in ancient Israel. We are turning from Him, we're not following His commandments, and we are worshiping other gods. Let's go on in chapter 3. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel, or the margin says, to test them, to test Israel by them, even as many of Israel as have not known all the wars of Canaan. Now remember, this is another generation. This is a generation here in ancient Israel that had not seen God's deliverance, just as we today who are living here did not see God's deliverance of our people from the hand of the British Empire in the Revolutionary War and so on. Only that the generation of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof. Namely, 5 lords of the Philistines and all the Canaanites and the Sidonites and the Hivites that dwell in Mount Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon under the entering of Hamath. And they were there to prove or to test Israel by them to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord which He commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. Well, here I wonder, did Israel pass the test? And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites. They mingled themselves among the heathen in that land. And the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam and the groves. They intermarried with these dark-skinned Canaanites, and they worshiped their gods. And today in America, finally, some of our people are beginning to realize that our government has been taken over by people who are going to force us to intermingle with the heathen. Just recently, they've had a lot of trouble in Boston, Massachusetts, as you know, because they had a federal court order that commanded them to bus the little Negro children and the Puerto Ricans and the rest of them into the white schools and to bus white children into the Negro schools. And they've been doing that, but they've had so much trouble that about 75% of the white children are either not going to school or they have started private schools. Well, just last week I heard an announcement on the radio that someone has stated that they are going to now get a federal court order which will take the Boston school district out from under the hand of the local school board and place it in trusteeship under a federal judge. Remember during the Revolutionary War that our fathers declared their independence from England because they said, among other things, one of the things the king did was to remove the colonial elected officers and place his own appointed people over them? That's what our federal government is doing to us today. They are beginning to remove our local elected officers and place various parts of our government and society under appointed federal or monarchical judges. And this is happening, I believe, because we have allowed this thing to come to pass. The people have said, oh, there's nothing wrong with mixing with the Negro. And God says, all right, if you think you can mix with the Negro, I'll show you how to mix with the Negro. I'll move them right into your homes and into your schools, and we'll see how you like it. And I believe this is the hand of God, a judgment on us. If we won't learn to separate ourselves from the heathen, God turns right around and lets us have the thoughts of our own heart. He says, all right, I'll leave the heathen. I'll multiply them in the land and let you have them. Now, how serious was this intermarriage here as they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons? Verse 8, therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and He sold them into the hand of the king of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served that king with a long name there for 8 years. Israelites intermarrying with the heathen is so serious in God's sight that He actually puts them in captivity among aliens and other peoples and other nations. Verse 9, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. And the Lord delivered this king of Mesopotamia into his hand, and his hand prevailed against him. And the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel the son of Kenaz died, and then everything was all fine, and they lived happily ever after, right? The next verse says, after this 40 years, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek, and went and smote Israel, and possessed the city of palm trees. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. So they were released again. This goes on and on. Every time Israel turned around, God said, all right, this is what you want, I'll let you have it. And they had it to the extent they ended up in captivity. Chapter 4, starting in verse 1, and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor. Again, they were put into captivity. And here is a long one, which we've gone into some detail before, so I'll only read the first part of it, in chapter 6. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. You know, I get many patriotic newspapers and newsletters, some Christian publications, and I'm sure you get some of them, and they're developing quite a business in America of selling survival equipment. Our people are actually considering the necessity of finding dens and caves in the mountains and hills in order to survive. This is what happened to Israel. They were sent into captivity under these Midianites, and they actually had to build them dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And these children of the east we've identified in here before, they are what we know today as the Jews. And they are Asiatics, they're Orientals, they're plunderers, and they came up against Israel here. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. Now, I don't know how many of you have actually considered the difference in the available food in America today compared to even 5 years ago. About 5 years ago, we had surpluses stored in granaries all over America. About 15 years ago, you could drive across North and South Dakota, Iowa, Kansas, Nebraska, parts of Wisconsin, in the rural areas, and you would see farmers who had purchased maybe 5 or 10 or 50 or 100 of these portable metal granaries in order to store the surplus commodity that they had produced in their fields. That is all gone. The government granaries are empty. As far as we know today, if this last sale, which is going to be made to Russia this year, is completed, there will be less grain in America than necessary to continue to feed our people by this winter. Now, here in ancient Israel, these people came up and encamped against them, and they actually destroyed the increase of the earth. They destroyed part of the crops, and the rest of it they took themselves. We have something called the ecology movement in America today, and we think it's here to help us give us clean water and clean air and so on. But if you analyze the operation, even that part of the government that is operating under the so-called EPA or Environmental Protection Agency, you will find that their activities primarily result in limiting the production of the American businessman, factory, and farm. They are being closed down all over this country by these people. They are actually limiting or destroying the increase of the earth. Verse 5. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. We've had in America in the last 15 to 20 years many hundreds of thousands of so-called refugees. Even as long ago as the Hungarian Revolution, when the people of Budapest and the surrounding area almost threw off the communist yoke, they had refugees who were sent over here. Well, our people didn't have sense enough to realize that all of those people who came out of Hungary immediately when the revolution started were not the anti-communists, because the anti-communists were winning. Those refugees were communists. In fact, the head of the House Committee on Un-American Activities at that time, after they had made an investigation, they discovered that President Eisenhower had given a specific order for planes to fly to Austria to pick up 6,200 refugees from Hungary. And the chairman of the House Committee on Un-American Activities said that their investigation showed that every one of those 6,200 were communists. The Hungarians were driving them out during the first approximately 10 days, and they left, and Eisenhower flew them all to America. Now, during the succeeding months, when the Russian tanks came in and began to fight the Hungarians and take over control, then many thousands of anti-communist Hungarians escaped from Hungary and went to Austria, but there were no planes there for them to bring them to America. They ended up staying back in Europe. This has probably been true of many of these people who came out of Cuba, and the people who came out of China, and the people who came out of Vietnam. They are coming here supposedly as refugees from communism, but our government, which does everything it can to help communism and to help the communist nations, obviously would bring communists to America, not non-communists. And so here, in ancient Israel, these people actually entered into the land of Israel to destroy it. I wonder how many of those refugees who have come to America in the last 20 years have come here for our destruction. Now, how could this happen? How could these people do this in America, and how could they do it in ancient Israel? Well, I think the answer is in verse 1, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midianites. God Almighty is delivering America into the hands of its enemies. Now, we can blame the enemies, we can blame the politicians, we can blame ourselves for being blind and not seeing it. But I believe we should see the hand of God in it. Gideon delivered them, and of course that is a story in itself, which we have on tape. If I recall, it's either in 6 or 8 sermons to cover the next 2 chapters. But let's read what happened after Gideon, chapter 8, starting in verse 33. And it came to pass, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again, and went a-whoring after Balaam, and made Baal-berith their god. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side, neither showed they kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had showed unto Israel. The same kind of fools in ancient Israel as we seem to have here in America today. Turn with me over to the New Testament again, to 1 Corinthians. In chapter 10, a well-known passage by most of our kingdom people, of Paul quoting the history of Israel in the first verses, and then he says in verse 11, "Now all these things happen unto them for examples," or examples, "and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." And we read Romans 15:4, "Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Did ancient Israel learn from this? Apparently they did not. Are we supposed to learn from this? Apparently we are. And the question that will be answered in the years to come is whether America will learn from the experiences of the ancient Israel people given here in the Bible. If this is the end of the age, and we are God's people, as I believe we are, then these things that happen to them are written for our learning, upon whom the ends of the age or the ends of the world are come. Let's go back to Judges, chapter 10, starting in verse 6. "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam and Ashtaroth, and the gods of Syria, and the gods of Zidon, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord, and served not him." Apparently they had quite a few different denominations there, didn't they? Every one of these different tribes had a different religion, and that's what we have in America. They call them Christian religions. And again, as I said before, most of them, if you examine them, you will find much of what they teach is actually Baal worship. "And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel 18 years, all the children of Israel that were on the other side Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight also against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, We have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Balaam. Well, they finally came out of it again like they had done many times and realized what they had done and turned to God. Now, there are two specific things that we should learn in the book of Judges. These things which were written for our learning upon whom the ends of the ages are come. And number one, it is God Almighty who delivers His people into bondage. It is not the power or the cunning of the enemy. It is not really our own stupidity in not knowing about the enemy. The only place stupidity enters into it is our not serving our God. And God delivers us into the hands of the enemy. In fact, in chapter 3 and verse 12, which we perhaps should read again, it says here, The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. If we do not have enemies who are strong enough to cause us trouble and to take us into captivity when we disobey God, then what does God do? He raises up that enemy. He strengthens that enemy. It's necessary to take the food from our fields and the produce from our factories and send it over to them, then God sees that it's done. I know some of my conservative friends have blamed Hubert Humphrey and Orville Freeman for making the arrangement some years ago to send most of the grain out of Minnesota and the granaries of North and South Dakota to the Soviet Union and to China. Well, they were at fault to some extent, but I think they were nothing but tools in the hand of God. God sent that grain over there because we, like our fathers in ancient Israel, have sinned against Him. And God is building up and strengthening and providing the military might for those nations to come against us to punish us. And once we get that through our head and realize it is the sovereignty of God that's involved here, of course, perhaps we'll begin to see what is happening. We know from the last experience of the last 60 years that communism is an economic failure. Every nation which has been taken over and controlled by the communists ends up with disaster, not only in their farms, but in their factory production. How do they get this strength? Where do they get it? They get it from us. And it can only come because God Almighty is allowing it to be taken to them. Even such a little nation as Cuba is now a threat to us. Such a little nation as Vietnam or North Vietnam could beat us, win us in war. Why? Because God strengthened them against us. And Umbu, as you should learn, is given over and over in here, and I think I'll read just the verses. You don't have to turn with me. I want to read just a few that we've already seen. Chapter 2, verse 11, The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Verse 13, They forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Chapter 3 and verse 6, They took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. Chapter 6 and verse 10. I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose lands ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And chapter 8, verse 33. And it came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baal-berith their god. And 10:6. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria and the gods of Sidon and so on. I repeat again, if we are in truth God's people, and if we are coming under captivity at the hands of those who hate us, it must be because we are doing exactly what God said ancient Israel did. They turned from Him and they served other gods, and He sent them into captivity. Let's close by reading Exodus 20 for today, and we're going to continue this next week. This is the giving of the Ten Commandments. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. That's pretty plain, wouldn't you think? No other gods except the God of creation, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want to read one more verse of Scripture, which will give you something to think on until we continue next week. Leviticus 26, God told the Israel people what would happen to them if they disobeyed. And here are two verses of Scripture that we use over and over when we go to Washington, D.C., so we can tell these men why these things are happening to us. He said to them, if they would not obey, verse 16 and 17, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and that's disease, and the burning ague, that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. We were in Washington just shortly after they made this huge grain purchase several years ago, and a lot of those conservative congressmen were very, very upset about all of this grain going to the Soviet Union. So we read this verse of Scripture over and over to these men. They said, look, it is happening because God has decreed it. He told us, if we would not obey, ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. It's not going to our friends, it's going to our enemies. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. And they that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. Our forefathers who founded this nation refused to allow Jews and Catholics to vote or hold office in this land because they knew they were not for this people and this nation. Today, at least one-third of the Congress of the United States is Catholic. At least 90% of the men in top offices in the executive branch are Jewish. They that hate you shall reign over you. It has come to pass in America. I wonder if we will learn what ancient Israel did not, that it is our fault. We have turned from the God of our fathers. Next week, God willing, we're going to continue and show you the pattern and the prophecy and what will happen. Because, praise God, we will turn, we will be delivered. Let's stand. Our Father and our God, we thank you for these words that thou hast provided. We ask for mercy, Lord. We have turned away, we've gone away backwards, we've turned and worshipped other gods, we've done all these terrible and vicious and ungodly, filthy things that our fathers have done, and we have done them worse. We pray in the name of Christ that you have mercy upon us, and upon this people, deliver us in Jesus' name. Amen.